ahead and take the speed up your number one now, runway 27 clear to land green dot. Welcome to Oshkosh, guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of The Green Dot, EAA's podcast for anyone and everyone who loves aviation. Today, I'm one of your hosts. My name is Chris Henry. I'm the EAA Aviation Museum Director here in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And sitting across from me is my partner in crime,
David Lighting, Young Eagles and Eagle Flights Program Manager here at EAA. Been a co-worker of Chris's now for a little over a decade. So thanks for letting me join today, Chris.
Oh, man, this is fun. And as I always say, the most fun episodes are the ones where we get to talk to interesting people and we have guests on from outside of the organization proper here in Wisconsin. And today's no different. Do you want to tell everybody who we have with us?
Yeah, so today we have our EAA Young Eagles chairman, Mr. Jimmy Graham. Those that are even somewhat familiar with the NFL world probably know that name and know of all of his on-the-field accomplishments and a little over 12 or 13 years in the league. But Jimmy's been our program chairman now since 2018. So, Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. Obviously an honor to be on. I went to the museum many times when I played for Green Bay. Awesome to talk points with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, the focus of this is going to be around your aviation career, but I'm sure football will come up here and there a few times as we talk through some of these stories. So I personally have talked to you about this quite a bit, but I think I think your aviation story is so cool and so unique. So can you just talk a little bit about, what was that first spark that got you interested in aviation and what really got you going down the aviator pathway?
Yeah. It all started when I was really young. I think many pilots, I would say through the 90s and 2000s were all inspired by Top Gun and my initial thoughts, and moments were very similar. I was able to, sit in the background and watch it at the age of 3 or 4, and from that day forward, I knew what a plane was. And then I got lucky enough, I was a military kid. So I was at an air show, I believe it was Fort Bragg, but they had the paratrooper jumping and all that. And I remember the first aircraft that I ever sat in was actually an A-10 Warthog. And so I got very lucky as a young kid and somebody picked me up and put me in one. And, I just remember being enamored with that plane specifically. So from that day forward, sitting in that plane, I was always hooked and, always wanted to be a pilot.
So obviously life for you got pretty busy when you were at the University of Miami and you started playing, D1 sports and obviously ended up in the NFL. How did you continue to feed that interest in aviation? And obviously you started once you were in the league. But how did you balance that, that getting started in flight training and being a professional athlete at the same time?
Yeah, it even goes back to high school. That's actually why I committed to sports. Once I got past 6'4", I realized I wouldn't be flying fighter jets. That was always the goal. So I focused on sports and that's what carried me into college. And I remember being 19 years old and getting my first, kind of small aircraft flight. I was 19. It was over the first key here in Miami. And we were doing aerobatics in an extra 300L. And I remember that day I said, listen, I'm going to do whatever it takes to do this one day. But obviously, when I was in college, we didn't have NIL in kind of the world that it lives in now. And, we were basically meal to meal and our meals would run out. And, we had to figure it out. We had no money. So my rookie year, really with my career, it was all very lucky. I played 4 years of college basketball, played 6 months of college football, and then ended up being drafted in the third round somehow with 17 catches. So after my rookie year, I was on the former Super Bowl team that year. We lost in the playoffs and they ended up cutting Shockey and they told me, hey, listen, you're the starter moving forward. And I still didn't know much about football, didn't understand the game, didn't really understand a lot of the rules. But I know I need to stay focused. So for the first time, a lot of guys, really all of us, that first off season after rookie season is really the first time you've had time off, probably, if you made it to the professional level since you were, 11 or 12 years old. You spend most of your childhood traveling, training, everything is focused on that one thing. Even in college, it's even worse when you add on you know, an intense schedule for the school that I was in. So a lot of guys, what they do is they travel, you know, they party a bit and they spend money. And for me, I knew I needed to stay focused. So that year, 10 days after the season, I enrolled myself in a flight school down here in Miami. And then subsequently, I ended up doing that for a decade straight. So every year, you know, it kind of became my routine. I would cut it down to probably 3 or 5 days after the season. I started going to flight school, you know, picking up new certifications, new experiences, flying new planes. And it was a great way to, you know, really exercise my mind, and also to you know, to be wholly focused on one thing. You know, playing professional sports, there are a lot of voices out there, between the analysts, between the reporters, between all your coaches, yelling at you, and all the fantasy football guys. You know, it can be easy to rest on your laurels because everybody's praising you, or it can be easy to go into a bit of having no confidence because everybody's roasting you for doing something, you know, because you're just a human being out there trying to survive. So yeah, I mean, I would say it was very difficult at the time to, you know, every offseason basically go back to school. But I had a goal and I had a drive. I had this, I would say, fire inside of me to learn and to be proficient and to be good at anything, you know, with wings at first, and then with a swinging wing later.
That's awesome. So I just got to know, what did your coaches and like the front office think when, hey, one of our star players is getting into this crazy, this kind of crazy hobby? I mean, what was their reaction like?
So I had, here's three quick stories, right? This kind of goes through the gamut of coaches' reactions. First was in New Orleans. I was really smart about it. I understood that this would probably be a problem. So I didn't mention it to anybody. You know, I was very late getting social media. And even when I got it for the first probably year and a half, I didn't tell anybody I had it. I just was basically, you know, a guy posting plane pictures. You know, eventually the Saints figured it out and I had like this extreme run of followers very quickly. But I knew it was going to be an issue and they didn't find out till about year three, I think it was. And by then, I think my contract year is when our GM and everybody really found out. So before I signed my new contract, you know, they wanted to sit me up. Really, they called me and said, Jimmy, listen, we're going to put a clause in the contract where you can't fly, unless you're with, unless you're with another pilot or if it's a jet and you can't fly props. And, you know, my comment there was, well, guys, you know, it's too late. I already own two planes and, I guarantee there's 31 other teams that'll pay me and let me fly. So you guys got to figure it out. And, you know, surely they did. I became the highest paid to ever live. And kind of the rest is history on that. And then, what was really cool, my experience in Seattle. You know, I get traded to Seattle. I know no one up there. I know nothing. And the support I had from the entire staff and from the players was incredible in aviation. You know, really Seattle, if you're a young pilot, you know, I really implore you to go up there with somebody who's experienced with the weather because the winters, you know, comes with a lot of weather. It comes with a lot of low hangars and a lot of fog. But it's one of the most beautiful places you could ever fly. So many places to go between the San Juan Islands, between the mountains and between Vancouver, especially in seaplanes. So my first week on the job, this older gentleman hobbles around the corner, which I found out later that he just had Achilles surgery. And he comes up to me and he asks me, hey, I hear you're a pilot. Are you a seaplane pilot? And, you know, I told him, no, you know, I'm waiting to go to Jack Brown. And he said, well, I flew in today. My name's John Nordstrom. I used to own the team, but I sold it to my friend Paul. So let's go fly. So we went out the back facility and we took his de Havilland Beaver, his DHC dash two up on straight floats. And it was, I think that was on amphibs. And it was one of the most incredible experiences I ever had. The next week and I go and get my seaplane license. I would say, and then really, you know, Pete Carroll, RGM, they were so encouraging of it. You know, I used to fly into work probably 2-3 times a week in the Beaver. I lived at the top of Lake Washington and it was a 45-minute drive, but it was a 5-minute flight. So I flew a Beaver in quite a bit. And then probably the funniest story was when I got to Green Bay. So I got to Green Bay and At the time, you know, we had just rebuilt a Huey the year prior and had unveiled that we're going to be flying veterans. We're going to be flying young kids through EAs, Young Eagles. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, he came up to me because I'm always wearing one of my foundation hats. And he said, "Hey, bro, how can I get a hat?" And I told him, "Hey, listen, those are earned, not given. You got to fly with me." So we ended up throwing a charity event up there. And I flew the Huey from Miami up to Green Bay. And then I eventually took Aaron flying. Well, he ended up posting it online. And probably 10 minutes after he posted that call, my phone lit up with our GM. And so I knew I was in trouble already. So he calls me and said, "Jimmy," he said, "listen," he said, "you know, we know you're flying and we know you're good at it." He said, "but you had half of our team's salary cap on that plane." He said, he said, "listen, anybody but Aaron." And, you know, I told him, okay. And you
but
know,
Aaron got his hat. So,
yeah, but he got his hat. And, you know, it was a beautiful flight, you know, being able to show him that world. You know, it's some recent, you know, since then, you know, he's reached out at times to, you know, maybe when he retires to, you know, try and get some certificates himself, which is just incredible. You know, he's got the brain for it and the mind for it. So, it was certainly one of my more special flights.
So, Jimmy, you probably have no idea about this, but I'm born and raised in Pittsburgh. So I'm a proud Steelers fan and super excited to have Aaron as our QB. It's beyond awesome. I bought the jersey and I take the heat for wearing a Steelers jersey here so close to land. also, a huge Huey fan. Would love to, you know, I'm sure you've been through our museum. We have a Huey here. It's an old Bravo model that flew in the 121st as a gunship. Would love to hear what the history is on yours.
Yeah. You know, we knew we wanted one with some wartime and got lucky enough to get one of the best ever to rebuild a legacy helicopter to do it, which is Northwest Helicopters up there in Tacoma, Washington. And, you know, and initially we didn't know much about it. We just knew that it, you know, had fought for this company called the 170th. So as our guys and really as the Northwest Helicopters, especially, you know, their lead inspector, he's an incredible guy. He does all the research on it as well. So he drops all this information for us. So it fought for the 170th, which ended up not being claimed by the U.S. military until 2001. Because they helped out our 5th Special Forces in Vietnam, you know, doing all kinds of wild stuff. So it's got this special pedigree. And then we have all the maintenance records for it. So it flew for 2,400 combat hours in Vietnam for the 170th, which is an incredible group of guys. You know, I've been able to meet a few of them, fly a few of them. You know, we're honorary members now, and you know what they did over there at such a young age is just incredible. And to be able to connect the plane back to them, you know, quick story. When we first unveiled that you know we had this aircraft, we ended up getting reached out to by I think one of the crew chiefs, and he said, "Listen, I've been following that serial number since I left Vietnam, which is 671-7279." And he said, "Do you mind if I drive down and touch her one more time?" And, you know, I said, "You know, even better, let's go fly." So, you know, we ended up flying and, you know, it was just beautiful. And then the quick history after Vietnam, it was sold to the Singapore Air Force. So we actually have the old engine logs for it and all the maintenance they did on it. So it flew for the Singapore Air Force for many, many years. And that's why ours was, you know, maintained so well. You know, we have an upgraded rotor brake, which is a big deal, especially when it's windy. And I, you know, everybody who's ever flown a Huey, every time they, you know, see me pull on the rotor brake, you know, they're just jealous. And then we have like an upgraded wire strike kit. And then we got full NVG lightings in our bird as well. So, you know, it was a great shell, and Northwest, you know, really did their thing to make it, you know, better than it's ever been. So, you know, it's been a true blessing.
That's awesome. It's so cool to hear you talk about like connecting some of the people that were around that aircraft. Our aircraft had a wild story. It was 121st bird, and a friend of mine from back home, her dad passed away the day that we opened the exhibit. She knew her dad was in Vietnam, but he never talked about it. She just assumed he was, you know, infantry or something like that. Only to find out as they were cleaning out his stuff from his hunting cabin that he had flown Hueys. And she knew nothing about aircraft, so she started, like, pinging me on, like, "Hey, what is this? Is this the kind of aircraft you have in the museum?" Only to find out after they had the reunion here about 6 months later that her dad flew the one we have in our museum. We were able to, that's incredible. Yeah, his logbook didn't have any tail numbers, but his door gunner had tail numbers and came to the reunion, and we were able to verify it. So we had her and her son come up to the museum and sit in his seat and everything. But I mean, what are the chances? I mean, these things have such a huge personal connection with the,
oh yeah,
even the people who didn't fly in that exact one, you know, out in the museum. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but you know, I had security come and get me one day, and they said, there's a guy out touching the Huey. So I walked out to just see what was going on, and dude just had his eyes closed and had tears, you know, in his eyes, and he just has his hand on the nose of the Huey. And I was like, no, he's good. You know, just let him be. He's going through something out there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you, really, you know, the blade noise, the smells, everything really instantly transport them back, to kind of the younger days. And, you know, we've had many, many experiences on our bird. You know, we've flown 15 Purple Hearts over the last 5 years. You know, some of them missing limbs, and the majority of them haven't been in a Huey since Vietnam. Three of them specifically, the last time they were in a Huey was when they were earning their Purple Heart, getting shot down. So, you know, to be able to give those flights and those moments, especially with their families, is just truly incredible. We have so many tears, and yet also a bunch of very interesting stories. You know, when you give a 19-year-old kid a helicopter and tell him, you know, have fun and good luck, you know, they end up doing some pretty funny stuff. So, you know, we've heard all the stories, but truly the special moments are, you know, when the tears are rolling and you know, they're just, you know, so emotional about the experience, and it really brings them back.
Yeah. So we were down in Sun and Fun this past year, and we did some Young Eagle volunteer appreciation flights. And one of the gentlemen that got to fly with us was a Huey pilot, in Vietnam. And I know he flew up front with Jimmy, and Jimmy let him, fly the helicopter for a little bit. And the other folks that were on board said, you know, when Alan took the controls, it was like riding a bike. Like, it just kind of came back to him, and he got out and he had tears in his eyes. He said, David, you have no idea what this flight just meant to me, and like what this did for my soul. And I know that's why you do what you do with your foundation, Jimmy. And we'll talk about Young Eagles here in a minute. But what was the kind of reasoning and the desire to start the Jimmy Graham Foundation and do what you do with the Huey and with veterans? Like, where did that come from? Because I know pro athletes, they have all sorts of different kind of philanthropic missions that they want to focus on and ways they want to give back. But what was it about the Huey and about, you know, our military vets that drew you to that mission?
Yeah, you know, it all started with, you know, really growing up on a military basis. And, you know, I'm from my original family, I'm the first male from my mom's side not to be in the military. You know, we've actually had a family member pass away in every war since the Revolutionary War up until this last one, in Afghanistan. So, you know, it was always something that I thought I would do. And honestly, it was the reason I decided to play football. You know, at the time, you could there's a couple of tier one operators who were signing contracts with guys to go straight from basics to, let's say, buds. So the only reason I really played college football was that was my backup plan. I was like, you know, if nothing works out from this, then, you know, I'm going to head to the military. Like, you know, I grew up around and like what I know. And then my first couple of years in the league, you know, I certainly had a good time, you know, my second year ended up being all pro, and, you know, it was all kind of a shock, but, I still wasn't fulfilled. I felt like, you know, there was something missing, and, you know, I think the majority of it was a lot of my close friends were overseas. A lot of my close friends were, you know, sending me emails and, basically telling me, hey, I'll be gone for next year, I can't talk to you, and blah, blah, blah. And I just was like, man, I'm over here, you know, living an amazing life, catching a leather ball and running for my life for millions of dollars. And a lot of my boys now are, you know, off doing their duty around the world, you know, going through quite a bit. So for me, you know, my belief is, you know, we all live in an amazing country. You know, we have many opportunities in this country just because we were born here. You know, I think I'm an example of that, you know, from where I've come from, you know, how far I've come. And in many countries, there's no opportunities. You know, if you're born in the gutter, you stay in the gutter. So I believe, you know, if you do make it, and even if you don't, it's your responsibility to have some type of give back, you know, and that give back could be your time. You know, it could be, you know, going and talking to young kids. You know, it could be, you know, going and working at a homeless shelter. And so for me, my give back, was a chance to share experiences, you know, through a talent that I had acquired through aviation. So initially, we were looking at many different planes and helicopters, trying to decide what was the best platform. And for us, because of the parts availability, and genuinely because the ability to carry passengers, we went with the Huey. You know, I wanted to make a big impact. You know, anytime we went to maybe an air show or anytime, you know, we went into a reunion, and it just really had a very broad envelope for that. And so, you know, what's funny is the first Huey I ever flew was the one that's in the foundation. You know, I read everything I could about it and heard that it was an unbelievable bird. You know, at the time I've flown R-44, R-66, and I got my instant rating in A-star. So, you know, I knew that especially after flying an A-star, you know, getting my turbine time, I knew that, you know, I would be able to figure it out. So, you know, I learned and trained on the bird that I fly, you know, every week, veterans and young eagles. So it's certainly special.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And transitioning to young eagles, you know, I've seen it firsthand the way you work with these kids and the way you get down on their level and you talk to them about the opportunities, like you just, you know, spoke on the opportunities that exist here and that they can go achieve that's right in front of them. But how did you get roped into the EAA circus with the Young Eagles program? I mean, who was the one that brought you into this small slice of aviation?
Yeah. Everybody knows him well, Sean D. Tucker. You know, I met Sean D. Tucker through a mentor of mine named Joe Clark, who I met in Seattle. Also an incredible human being. You know, unfortunately, he passed away in 2020. But, you know, his legacy in aviation, what he did with creating winglets and, you know, making air travel faster and cheaper for the airlines. I mean, he's just an incredible human being. But he introduced me to Sean Tucker. And the first thing we did was we flew over Seattle. It was XCC Fair. And so we flew in the extra. I couldn't fit in the front, so I actually piloted from the back. So technically, he was my co-pilot. And then the next thing we did was we flew formation and photo flight in the Beaver. And, you know, the entire time, you know, I talked to him a little bit about myself and about a lot of the work that I was doing. You know, something that I've always really never publicized. You know, I had a really weird childhood where, you know, I dropped out facilities and, you know, various ways, left my house when I was 15. So, you know, most of the work that I was doing was with kids who were, you know, owned by the state. And because of that, you know, and I had been a part of that where, you know, they bring cameras in and make it a whole media thing. And for me, you know, I wanted it to be meaningful. You know, I wanted it to be something that maybe, you know, even if one kid from there caught something from me or an idea, you know, or something I had been through affected them, I didn't want them to be distracted with people around. So I'd always been very private about it, even the Wounded Warrior flights I was doing at the Seahawks facility in the Beaver. And then Sean really encouraged me to get involved with Young Eagles. You know, obviously he was a chairman. And first thing I did was when I got back to Miami, I started flying Young Eagles in the extra, which was always an interesting one, you know, because parents would show up. And, you know, there's, you know, kids getting a Young Eagles flight. And all of a sudden, you know, I push this little plane out and they're like, hey, so where's the pilot? And, you know, I'd be like, oh, I'm the pilot. And, you know, they're always like, aren't you a football player? And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I do both. But, you know, the initial everything was really Sean D. Tucker. You know, talk about an unbelievable mentor, you know, obviously within the chairman space, but really just for life. You know, he's been incredible to me. He certainly is family. And, you know, I'm still trying to get as much energy that he has, you know, even 9 o'clock at night.
He is absolutely awesome. One of the funniest stories I have on him was I was coming to work one morning in membership when I started here and walked in behind somebody and I have no idea what he was doing here, but he held the door for me. And as I went to work, I'm like, man, that guy looked like Sean Tucker and just thought it was someone else. I'm like, you know, whoever it was. And then later in the day, they were like, hey, we're going to bring Sean Tucker around to meet everybody. And I'm like, oh, my God, that was Sean Tucker that I met on the way in.
Yeah,
just a really cool guy. We're just chatting about whatever on the way in as we're walking up. But that's awesome. It's so awesome that you're part of that Young Eagles program. I was a Young Eagle. I mean, that's what really got me into aviation. My fire lit was getting to go up in a Cessna 170. And once you do it, that's it. It's like in your blood. And you just, that's all you can think about it is flying in airplanes and hanging out at the airport.
Oh yeah. No, you know, I mean, it's been so special for me, you know, through the years now. You know, I've got a lot of now professional pilots that flew with me first. You know, a lot of them we've kept in touch with. You know, I got a kid who's going to be graduating from West Point. You know, he actually presented me an award last year by surprise for all the veteran stuff. And you know, he ended up getting out of West Point and was there and was pretty emotional on the because I didn't know he was there. I thought it was a recording. And, you know, there's like tears and he's crying about, you know, his first flight with me. I believe it was 14. He ended up soloing at 16. And, you know, he's been at West Point for the last three years. And he was also on their aviation team, which was really special. You know, his dad's always sharing stuff with me. And, you know, from being this little kid who I had to give a pillow to even see over the front of the plane. But now, you know, he's a good looking man. You know, he's tall, you know, he's in shape. So, you know, just super proud of him. And, you know, we've had so many good moments. And I've had so many memorable moments through the Young Eagles program. You know, I try to, every time I meet a young pilot or every time I meet a pilot in general, I always ask them about the Young Eagles program, if they've ever been involved. And I always encourage them, listen, you know, obviously it's about the kids and providing the opportunity. And, but I always, you know, stress to them, you know, this is going to change you. You know, whenever you give out these flights, you're going to see these smiles, you're going to see this enthusiasm, you're going to be changed, you know, as a person for the better. And truly it's happened for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it goes without saying, you know, we're coming up on 2.5 million Young Eagles flown, mission 2.5. You know, as we're sitting here recording today, we're about 2 months from the beginning of AirVenture. And, you know, we got about 14,000 Young Eagles left to fly before then to reach 2.5 million. But knowing the passion that our volunteer network has, you know, I have the most confidence in the world we're gonna hit that number. You know, we've got 4,800-ish Young Eagle volunteer pilots in any given year. So clearly the passion runs deep. And, you know, I think the entire aviation industry really is indebted to the volunteer pilots that support this program for all of the doors that they've opened and all the mentorship that they have provided. But can you just talk about, from your point of view, Jimmy, the importance of the Young Eagles program and how it can serve not only EAA, but just the entire aviation community at large?
Yeah, obviously, you know, as all of our volunteers are getting ready for the summer, these next 2 months for Oshkosh are big. And, you know, I know everybody's going to rally around. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, who are stuck in the winter for quite a while. And, you know, everybody's, you know, getting the planes ready and, you know, getting the chapters ready to have some amazing events for these kids. But I think you have to also see the larger picture. You know, I was speaking on a panel in Seattle a few years back, and, you know, sitting on the panel was Boeing CFO, another Boeing exec, and all these brains. And then you have this dumb football player sitting there. I'm like, what am I doing here? But really it was to talk about, you know, this next generation. And within the room was all these aerospace technology companies, really every one of them. They were there for aerospace technology conference. And their biggest question is, you know, how do we, you know, recruit engineers, pilots, and mechanics to come towards aerospace, because we're losing them all to the SpaceX of the world. We're losing them all to, you know, the Googles and the Apples, but, you know, we really need this. You know, there's a massive need in the industry right now, you know, for these various fields within aviation. They're at such a shortage. And when it comes to that first flight that you give through the Young Eagles program, you are going to spark a fire in a kid that is going to turn them into having an unbelievable lifelong career. So, you know, that's something that I always encourage is, you know, even some of these companies, as I sit and talk with them at some of these air shows, it's like, listen, you know, you should encourage more people to give out these Young Eagle flights. You know, it's really going to help to get you a recruitment pool to try and mentor these kids up into your program. You know, that's one of the bigger things, is there's so many job opportunities in this. And, you know, it's a way to travel the world. It's a way to, you know, be on the forefront of technology. You know, as everybody knows, you know, America has built the entire infrastructure for aviation. You know, we were the first, and we have always pushed the envelope, you know, as we're doing right now, and we're overhauling our air traffic control system. You know, we're going to be the first, but then everyone else will follow. And so I always want to implore people, you know, to continue to always want to reach out to all the various communities around your area and get every type from every social walk of life into the airport and into those planes, because it just takes, again, one flight. You know, like the famous quote, like, once you've tasted flight, you will forever walk this earth with your eyes pointed skywards. And that is true. You know, I think it's for, you know, everybody on this call, and it's truly for everybody I've ever met in aviation. It just becomes an obsession and really becomes an identity that, you know, is so fulfilling.
So one other thing on the Young Eagles program, obviously you've got an entire fleet of different types of aircraft you fly, between the helicopter, the Beaver, the Extra, the Twin Commander. Is there, in that whole fleet, is there one that you feel gives you the opportunity to kind of connect with the kids on a deeper level, other than, you know, just giving them a flight is cool, but is there any experiences you've had or in any of those specific airplanes that you're like, man, I feel like this is really moving the needle for these kids right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, they all have their own needle mover. You know, when it comes to the Huey, what's really cool is that it's got more than one seat. Obviously, we're maxed out at three, but, you know, we can bring a parent, you know, so it's the entire, there's like a shared story there. And honestly, it's been awesome for like a big bonding moment, especially, you know, in some of the teen years, you know, as kids are growing and trying to be independent, you know, think they're cool. You know, when they're sitting in the helicopter, you know, holding hands with their mom or dad, you know, with this experience, it usually is an amazing bonding experience. Some of the cooler also flights I've given is in the Beaver, you know, sitting in the Beaver because they're right next to me, which is really nice. You know, being able to, you know, have them, you know, flip on the lights and, you know, have them do some things and, you know, have a great visual right next to me is really, really nice. And that's, for me, the platform that has the biggest connection. And then the Extra, that one's a whole nother world, right? Mainly because we are separated. There has to be a level of trust there. So a lot of it is, I usually only fly older kids in that because, you know, I don't want somebody popping the canopy. Obviously the Extra is very maneuverable. So, you know, sickness becomes a thing and I just want them to just have fun. And then, you know, I ended up flying up to Wisconsin to see you and to go to this event. And it was just a bunch of young female Young Eagles. And, you know, to see that group and the volunteers so passionate about it and to be able to fly them in the Commander was pretty special. Obviously, we weren't going slow at all. You know, I was going as slow as I could.
He was doing laps around the Cherokees and stuff that were flying with them.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it was really cool to also be able to introduce them to something that's pretty complex, got a lot of screens, got a lot of buttons, got a lot of things you have to know. So, you know, it was cool with the groups of girls that I had, you know, they had so many questions, were so intrigued on, you know, sitting in someone with glass and all this other stuff. So, you know, each one of them have kind of their own touching point.
I think that's one of the things that I think is so neat about how you fly and everything you do in aviation, Jimmy, is I always tell people you're an aviator's pilot. Like, you fly everything, swing wings, float planes, you know, twin engine IFR stuff. So I think that's really cool. And you're just a great representation of why people fly. You kind of fulfill every mission. And I know you're a humble guy and you don't like to talk about some of the stuff that you do and how you give back. But you mentioned that day you came up here to fly those gals in the Twin Commander. And that, to me, that day was really kind of epitomized how you give back through aviation. You were down doing, I think, Airbus helicopter type rating stuff that week.
Yeah.
You flew back to Miami. Yeah. You were up at 6 a.m., maybe 5 a.m. that morning. You flew not even direct to Oshkosh. You dropped somebody off in Florida, then came to Oshkosh. You did 6 Young Eagles flights, ate lunch, hopped back in, and flew back to Miami, all because you said, hey, I said I was going to be there to fly these kids. And that I just thought was so cool. And you didn't do it for the fanfare. You didn't do it for any reason other than you said you were going to be here to fly the kids, and you did it. And that, again, just hats off to you. I know you're doing a lot to give back, but I think that was just a really good representation of that. And so this is, I guess, my way of saying thank you for that and everything else you've been doing.
Oh yeah, no, it's, you know, as we've talked over the years, you know, I'm always going to give my word and, you know, anytime I can support the program and be there, it doesn't matter where it is. You know, I'm going to try my best to get there, you know, hopefully weather's good, but, you know, got lucky enough with the weather. That was definitely a journey. You know, I was in the Airbus H-145 school for like 5 days and it was a initial for me, but it was at a recurrent pace because everyone else is professional helicopter pilots. So I'm just intaking all this information. You know, the Airbus helicopter platform is unbelievable. You know, it's got backups on backups, so much automation. Yet you really have to understand what's going on with those computers and, you know, how to bypass, how to link, you know, just the glass alone, how, you know, how to find what you're looking for. And then the night before was actually my night vision qualification. So I was up pretty late, you know, flying to the mountains with night vision. Next day, flew down. And then, you know, next thing you know, I'm popping into the commander and fly direct to Wisconsin. But, you know, it's something that I do again, really for those smiles, you know, to be able to take those girls up and, you know, to see, you know, how active even you guys are up there in Wisconsin is so special. You know, I don't think people realize, you know, all the events that are going on there, you know, all the good that's happening there, even when AirVenture isn't there. You know, you guys are dedicated to it. And you guys are all in, and you know, it's certainly special to see.
Well, and just let me say, I know it really meant a lot to our staff, our educators here that you made that effort and came up. I know for a fact that they were all so stoked and just really honored you came up and spent time with them. So thank you. I know we're fighting a clock, but I have to ask you about having the chance to fly with the Thunderbirds. I understand you just recently got to do that, and I would be, you know, really disappointed in myself if I didn't get to ask you about that.
Yeah. Wow. You know, that's all I can say about it. but no, you know, I've been at a loss for words for the past couple of days. You know, I posted a video today of some in cockpit action, and you know, first let me just praise that team. And what I mean, the team, not only the pilots, you know, from the maintainers, 12, you know, everyone on that team. The sacrifice that they make, you know, for basically being on the road, I think it's something like 250, 300 days a year to basically encourage hearts and minds about, you know, what the Air Force is about. And my ability to sit in a briefing with them was absolutely spectacular. You know, I've been lucky enough to have unbelievable mentors in the aviation space. You know, I think the fact that I can fly so many things isn't because of me, it's because of my instructors. I truly had really absolute pros and the best at each variant that I've been able to fly. And most of them all reached out to me, and two of them specifically, you know, obviously they cared about the flight, but they asked about the briefing first. Like, how's, you know, did you sit in on the briefing? How was that? And, you know, such a special moment for me. And then obviously getting suited up with all their equipment guys was very interesting, obviously, because they don't have a boot big enough for me. So, you know, I had to jam my toes into something. And then, you know, I tried on like two different G suits, which also didn't fit around my thighs. You know, it's interesting because I've lost so much weight. So I can finally do this ride. You know, while I played, I was in my prime, probably 270, 275. So, you know, I have to get under a certain amount of weight to even be able to, you know, sit in that since it's the live seat. So, you know, I think I'm skinny, but, you know, when I'm trying to put on these things, you know, even the flight suit, you know, it was basically a flood, you know, it was barely like touching my ankles. but really how that team operates and really the view and being able, like I did their entire show performance. So 8 Raz, he used to be our F-22 demo pilot. Now he's with the Thunderbirds. First off, what an unbelievable human being, a true brother. I love him to death, and we are connected now forever. But to sit up underneath the formation and to watch how close they get, you know, it's people really don't understand, you know, the level of skill involved in what they're doing and the maneuvers that they're doing. And they are so on point because of their practice. You know, it just shows, you know, obviously our military really truly carries the best aviators in the world. To be able to see that such a close viewpoint is just absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, and I'm sure you have an extra appreciation for it just because of the parallels between that type of flying and being a professional athlete, the dedication, you know, just again, honing and crafting your skill the entire time. So I'm sure that, you know, was extra special for you. I know you've got a lot of really cool stuff. You still want to do in aviation. You've done a lot of really awesome stuff so far. But what else is on the horizon for Jimmy when it comes to his aviation life? As far as new airplanes, new ratings, new experiences, what else? What else is there for you to check off the list?
Wow, there's all kinds of things going on right now. you know, we've been very, very busy this year, just kind of planning for the future. Obviously, now that I'm not, you know, playing football anymore, I've got a little bit more time on my hands. But really for us, the next big thing right now, you know, I've got probably a meeting tomorrow. I'm going to bring a logo person in. Recently, as of last year, I am pairing with the Jet Walker. So we both just got sponsored by Black Rifle Coffee. I will be putting my extra in that, and I'll be giving out, you know, flights, photo flights next to the Jet Waco in the extra. And we're going to pinpoint exactly which shows we're going to be doing that in. But the real purpose of it is to fly veterans and active duties in that seat. You know, obviously Black Rifle Coffee is an unbelievable company, but also has unbelievable leadership, all veteran owned. So we really, as talking with them, you know, and especially with my foundation, you know, one of the biggest things that I've always noticed and one of the bigger things that happens at air shows is the majority of the attendees are all former military or active duty. So what a great area and a great platform. You know, to show our appreciation for them, you know, for their sacrifice and for everything that they've done for this country. So, you know, we're going to be traveling around America and eventually growing it into something special. After we get these stickers on here and we decide which shows that I'm going to go to give out some of the flights, then I am also getting donated the Combat Learjet from Joe Clark, who passed away in 2020. And we will be doing honor flights. And, you know, flybys and some various other things, which will also be under the Black Rifle tag with the Combat Learjet, which is incredible. Obviously, it's flown air shows for many, many years. It's been sitting in a hangar in Idaho for some time now. So once it gets transferred over, we're going to get it back airworthy. I've got to go through all the training, and then we're going to get with some of the pilots who formerly did some of the stuff, and I've got to get with Ace. But the idea with that is also to fly veterans and some young Eagles. Obviously, we have Show Smoke on the Learjet, which will be pretty cool. It's got great pedigree, and we're going to be, you know, doing these honor flights. And I specifically say honor flights because, you know, this is something that, you know, me and a good friend of mine had talked about doing together for the last 3 years, which is the late Rob Holland. You know, he had a program that he called the Honor Flights, and we wanted to pair together and do it again. You know, he had such a big heart for our military and for aviation. So I'm going to carry that legacy with that name forward. And then we're going to do those flights in honor of Joe Clark and Clay Lacy for what they've done in aviation. So, you know, it's an exciting time, exciting to be a part of all of this. And then there's some other various things, but I'll kind of keep those things close. I've got to go back to recurrent for the 145. So we'll see.
Sounds good. Well, before Chris wraps it up, I just want to say thank you for everything that you do for EAA and for the Young Eagles program, for all those vets and active duty military members and how you give back. I've been around your hangar a few times. I've seen the way you operate, and I'm just so impressed with the passion that you have and the knowledge that you have around your aircraft and the ways in which you give back. So I think I speak for a lot of people, especially those of us here at EAA, but thank you. Just thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Oh no, I mean, I don't do anything. I'm just a football player, but I do have one last thing. You know, big announcement. You know, I ended up hiring a lobbyist actually to go and try to get some state funding here in Florida to help out a local charter school for kids. This charter school down here is called the Seed School. There's various seed schools built all around the country, but this one specifically. The number one parameter to get into the school is you have to be 200% below the poverty level. And they run like a charter school in the Northeast. So it's for higher education. These kids go to, they're in the school and they live at the school Monday through Friday. And it's college preparatory. This year, last year, and basically every year, 100% of the seniors all went on to college. This year is a smaller body of seniors, but yet they had between them all, I think 110 various scholarships to college, and all of them will be attending colleges. This grant that we were genuinely just awarded, we will start a flight program at that school. So when you're in middle school, but really when you get into high school, we're gonna provide opportunities to work on their pilot's license, but also to work on an aircraft. We're gonna be taking it old school, just like really what EAA is about. You know, we're all going to build a home build in Opa-locka Airport. and through various years, they're going to be able to earn also time towards the A&P license. You know, I think, you know, for me, this just really makes sense. They have an unbelievable program, a bunch of unbelievable teachers. And I really wanted to do something, you know, with those kids in the aerospace technology industry. And for us to be able to mold these minds and to help them see the opportunities in aviation, and also to be able to give out these Young Eagle flights at that middle school and high school are going to be absolutely incredible. And we are really looking forward to, you know, unveiling this for them and getting a team together of certified, you know, A&P instructors and CFIs to get the kids up and to educate them.
Man, I'm just blown away. I mean, you're way more than just a Young Eagles chairman. You're boots on the ground in so many different areas. That's awesome. I just as David said, I don't think any of us can say thank you enough for everything you're doing for aviation and for veterans.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, again, you know, like as we log off here, you know, one, thank you to every volunteer that has ever been a part of the Young Eagles program and EAA. You know, truly, you know, we couldn't survive without you. And two, just to encourage you, you know, this is what being an American is all about. You know, it's about molding the minds who will be leaders for tomorrow. And, you know, what a better way to spend your weekends or to spend your time off than to bring in these smiles and bring in these life-changing opportunities and flights to these kids. So one, thank you for what you do. And two, if you haven't given a Young Eagles flight, I encourage you to log onto the website, to go through our pilot tests and our rules and sign up, because it truly will be something that will not only affect many, many lives here forward as I travel around the country. All I hear is, oh, my first flight was with a Young Eagle, but really, truly also yours, opening your heart up to, you know, how unbelievable this program and the people who are involved with it are.
Well, thank you so much, Jimmy. That's fantastic. And you made me want to go out and start doing more too. So thank you. It just awesome to have you on here today. I can sit here and talk Hueys with you all day long. So I know we got to start wrapping it up here, but again, thank you for coming on. David, thank you for being my co-pilot here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for letting me take the controls for a little bit. This was really, really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it. And for all those listening, we really say thank you for the continued comments, support of the Green Dot. Thank you to our sponsor, Crew Chief Systems. And let us know what we're doing right. Let us know what we're doing wrong. Let us know who we can get that you want to hear from. But thank you again so much. And we'll see you next time when you're cleared to land on the Green Dot.